Good evening. I'd like to call the Town of Montville Planning and Zoning Commission regular meeting and public hearing agenda, October 26, 2021, to order.
Pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Tony.
Mr. Secretary, roll call, please.
Okay, John Peters Jardins, that's me, present. William Piniaz?
Here.
Tony Saragusa?
Here.
Bruce DeShano?
Here.
John Estelle? Absent, right?
Yep.
Is he here?
No, he's not.
Chuck Longton?
Here.
Yep. Wills Pike?
Here.
Sarah Lundy?
Present.
And Joshua Koblick, absent.
Joshua won't be attending.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 present.
Okay, thank you. We have no executive session this evening, so we're going to move right into our agenda item number 5, our public hearings. This evening, agenda item 5A, public hearing, 221ZC3. The applicant is Old Colchester Road, LLC. A proposed zoning regulation text amendment to section 16.10.6 to amend text to add after the word zone, however, that lots in the R40 zone may be developed in accordance with the following bulk requirements if served by public sewer and water. Lot frontage 80 feet, front yard setback 30 feet. Rear yard setback 30 feet, side yard setback 10 feet. Date received in the office 7/29/21. Date of receipt 8/24/21. Public hearing was opened on 9/28/2021. The public hearing's been continued to this evening. Public hearing must close by 11/1/21 unless extensions granted. Liz, welcome aboard.
Good evening. Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. I can't say gentlemen anymore because we have Sarah here. So, good evening. For the record, Liz Burdick, planning director. And I would like to, and you guys got to give me a meeting to get back into the swing of things. I would like to enter one new staff exhibit into the record, and that would be the staff report dated October 26, 2021. And I'll review that with you now. I did send them at the last minute today, and you have them in front of you. I apologize for that, and we'll discuss that later. And Colleen is going to, we have two new public exhibits that Colleen is going to read into the record afterwards. Now, the staff report, basically the general information and the planning analysis is the same as the last meeting. So do you want me to reread it into the record, or basically my staff report goes over the proposed text amendment, that's in bold. Planning analysis and review discusses cluster development for the regulations are a minimum of 10 acres if sewers are available and 15 acres if not. And I went on to read the current regulation, which is the same as which would only be adding, provided, however, that lots in the R40 zone may be developed in accordance with the following bulk requirements if served by public water and sewer. And then it'll say, in no case shall any side yard be less than 10 feet, and no rear or front yard setback shall be less than 25 feet. Applicable height restrictions shall remain into effect. So this was on your last staff report, the table below with a yellow highlight. It states what's currently allowed under the R20 zone, which would be, the regular R20 zone would be frontage of 80 feet, front rear setbacks of 40, side yard setback of 10, and the 25% reduction in frontage and setback in R20 allows frontage of 60 feet, front rear setbacks of 30, and side yard setbacks of 10. So there's a comparison there. R40 with a 25% reduction would be 112.5 feet of frontage, 30 feet front and rear yard setback, and 11.25 side yard setback. The proposal is for 80 feet of frontage, 30 feet for the front and rear setbacks would remain the same, and the side yard setback would be reduced to 10 feet in this proposal. So I put a few comments in writing, and I'm just going to go over those briefly with you. So one thing that I noticed when I reviewed this application is the language in the proposed text, and including the existing text, states, "and no rear or front yard setback shall be less than 25 feet. And that should be deleted, because in no residential zone does a 25% reduction is it less than 30 feet. So that's sort of a housekeeping issue, but we can, since you're reviewing this application, it was within the proposal that Attorney Heller submitted, you could, as a commission comment, you could delete that. So I'm recommending that would be deleted. It's confusing. I don't know why it's in there. It might have, you know, applied to an old regulation. So I'm recommending, this is my recommendation, that it be deleted. Last meeting in September, you received a rather lengthy letter from John Chase. It's dated 9/27, and I reviewed the letter, and I have a couple of comments with regards to that. So for the record, paragraph 3 states in part, in exchange for 15% open space set aside, which in some circumstances may be comprised wetlands that would not be developable in any case. And I noted here that 16.10.7 does not allow wetlands to be considered for the 15% set aside unless they are determined significant by the Wetlands Commission. So if it's an important wetland system, it can be considered. So that comment that the open space can be all wetlands is not applicable here. So paragraph 7 states, while the proposed further side setback reduction is marginal in the single family context, the obvious major change being proposed is that the frontage would be reduced to barely more than one half, 80 feet, of what is currently required in the R40 zone if proposed cluster development is served by public water and sewer. So as stated in the September 28th staff report, the proposed reduction in frontage from 112.50 feet to 80 feet should allow for the construction of shorter roads, which would then reduce project construction costs, would reduce road maintenance costs for the town after the road is accepted, and reduce impervious surface and stormwater runoff. And the proposed reduction would allow for a true clustering of the development and maximum yield for development that should result in a lower price point for homeowners as well. Number 3, I disagree that the adoption of the proposed amendments would delegate future land use decisions to the WPCA by virtue of extension of the sewer service. And that was a comment submitted by Attorney Chase. And I note that the WPCA has no authority to make any land use regulation amendments or decisions. The current application for proposed amendments to the planning POCD, the one that is on our agenda right now that hasn't been adopted yet, recommends that future sewer extensions should be limited to areas outside the sewer avoidance boundary. And a current goal of the existing POCD is to encourage housing investment areas that designate areas within sewer district boundaries, areas within existing public sewer systems for higher density development, i.e. lots that less than 20,000 square feet, and I took that verbatim out of the POCD. So I just wanted to let you know that. Finally, I wanted to recommend that the proposal is consistent with the state POCD, which encourages clustering of housing and nodes around existing water and sewer systems. Again, I won't, you know, this is only a recommendation that I recommend approval of the proposed amendment with the deletion of "and no rear or front yard setback shall be less than 25 feet." And I listed some reasons that could be incorporated into a motion that the amendments reduce infrastructure costs, minimize the impact on the natural resources of the community, and preserve open space, promote reasonable housing costs, and encourage housing investment areas, cluster development, and diverse housing. And you know, I came into this a little late. This had already gone through the public hearing prior to my started my tenure here, so if it seems a little dry, I kind of wrote it out so that I could get my bearings when giving you this report. And if you have any questions, and available to answer them, I don't know if you want to wait until after Colleen reads the public exhibits in the record. Frankly, I don't remember what you'd like me to do.
Okay. One reason for continuing this was so that you did get an opportunity to review this.
Right.
I know several members expressed they wanted to get your take on this. So any questions for the town planner at this time? All good. Okay, Colleen?
Do you want to ask if you want the public to speak first before I answer?
No, I would. You can go ahead and enter that into the record. The public, yes, the public hearing is open.
I have two letters to enter into the record. The first is a letter from Richard A. Gladue, dated October 25th, 2021. And the second is a letter from John B. Chase, dated October 25th. Mr. Gladue's letter is dated October 25th, 2021. Montville Planning and Zoning Commission regarding 221ZC3, applicant Oakville Chester Road LLC, public hearing on 10-26-2021. I am writing in opposition to the above application. This seems to be a situation where the applicant would like to do something different with his property than what the zoning regulations currently allow. But in order to do that, he wants to change the rules affecting all of the R40 residential zones throughout the town of Montville. I believe that allowing potential greater density for development in all of the R40 zones based not just on where public sewer and water exist today, but also wherever they might possibly exist in the future, will lead to confusion for ordinary property owners who could never be sure about what could be developed in their neighborhoods. Instead, what's now being proposed means that someone could quietly go before the WPCA and get permission to extend the sewers, and by the time the neighbors figure out what's going on after a PZC application is filed and they get notice of it, the possibility of increased density is already a done deal. If this applicant is really only concerned about circumstances involving his own property, then he might want to consider applying for a variance from the Zoning Board of Appeals rather than trying to change zoning regulations that apply in areas all over the town of Montville, which ordinary people have relied on when deciding to purchase homes situated away from possible high-density developments. By only seeking to change the rules that affect his own property and not anybody else's, the applicant would also avoid the appearance of having an ulterior motive in seeking damages in the rules affecting a much greater area. The PZC should deny this application and should only consider changing the rules to allow greater density in all of the R40 zones, if the applicant is unable to obtain the relief he seeks through some less impactful method. Richard A. Gladue, 44 Cook Drive. Excuse me, I have another letter from John P. Chase, from the Walk, 34 Church Street, Connecticut. Dated October 25th, 2021, the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission. To be read into the administrative record at 10-26-21, continued public hearing. Dear Commission members, I write a response regarding application 221ZC3, which appears on your October 26, 2021 agenda for a continued public hearing and for discussion and decision. Unfortunately, I am again unable to appear before you personally due to professional commitment. As many of you know, or will recall from my earlier letter dated September 27, I am a Montville resident and I also represent clients owning properties situated in various zoning districts throughout the town. In my earlier letter, I pointed out that the proposal of the applicant, Oakville Chester Road LLC, to alter the section 16.10.6 requirements of the zoning regulations for cluster development lots in the R40 zone, quote, if served by public sewer and water, end quote, would have the effect of reducing the present requirement of 112.50 feet, i.e. 75% of the ordinary applicable R40 requirement, to just 80 feet. This is only slightly more than half of the 150 feet of frontage ordinarily required in the R40, 40,000 square foot districts generally, and is exactly the same as the 80 feet ordinarily required in the R20, 20,000 square feet districts. proposal would thus create authority for the Planning and Zoning Commission to alter the otherwise applicable provisions of Section 16.10.6 and double the number of frontage lots which may be permitted in the R40 district if sewer and water are available, currently or possibly in the future. However, there is no statutory authority for a Planning and Zoning Commission to adopt regulations empowering itself to vary the application of its regulations. Southeast Property Owners and Residents Association versus City Planning Commission, 156 Connecticut, 587 591, dated 1968. Quote, the variance power exists to permit what is prohibited in a particular zone, end quote. Adolphson versus Zoning Board of Appeals, 205 Connecticut, 703-710, year 1988. Quote, in simple terms, the Zoning Commission acts as a land use legislator and acting zoning requirements. By contrast, the Zoning Board of Appeals is the court of equity of a zoning process. 9R, Fuller, Connecticut, practice series land use law, practice third edition, 2007, at section 9.1, pages 237-38. Rava versus Westport Planning and Zoning Commission, 2019. Connecticut Superior, Lexus 604, number 24. Quote, an examination of the provisions of Chapter 124 of the General Statutes, especially the General Statutes 8-2, concerning the power conferred on the defendant, Planning and Zoning Commission, and Section 8-6, concerning the power of the Boards of Appeals, can lead only to the conclusion that the power to vary the zoning regulation lies exclusively in the Board of Appeals. Langer versus Planning and Zoning Commission, 163, Connecticut, 453, 457, pages 457, 8, year 1972. In addition, Connecticut General Statute, Section 8-2, requires intra-district uniformity. Pleasant Valley Neighborhood Association versus Planning and Zoning Commission, 15, Connecticut, App 10, 914, year 1988. This is just the opposite of a line. Planning and Zoning Commission is to authorize an exception from uniformly applied lot frontage requirements where it can be shown that permission to extend the public sewers has been obtained. As the Connecticut Supreme Court has explained, the obvious purpose of the requirement of uniformity in the regulations is to assure property owners that there shall be no improper discrimination. All owners of the same class and in the same district shall be treated alike with italicized provision for relief in cases of exceptional difficulty or unusual hardship by action of the Zoning Board of Appeals. The Cespedes versus Burzell Zoning Commission, 168 Connecticut, 358, 360, year 1975. Emphasis applied. See also Kaufman versus Zoning Commission, 232 Connecticut, 122, 147, year 1985, uniformity requirement. Quote, serves the interest of providing fair notice. Rather than serving, quote, the interest of providing fair notice and, quote, to nearby residents and homeowners of what could be developed in the neighborhood, the proposed, quote, if served by public sewer and water, end quote, language results in a regulation of indeterminate scope and applicability. It could apply to areas that are served today, underlined, by public sewer and water, perhaps via a community well system. As well as to areas where such services might exist someday on your own. This could mean next month or next year or 10 years from now. The practical reality is the proposed cluster development density increase would apply to any R3 district anywhere in Montville, when an applicant, before even filling an application with the Planning and Zoning Commission, has gone to the Montville Water and Sewer Commission, aka the WPCA, and obtains permission to extend service, which the Planning and Zoning Commission has absolutely no control over. It is true that our courts have stated that, quote, zoning must be sufficiently flexible to meet the demands of increased population, evolutionary changes in such fields as transportation and redevelopment, end quote. Lurie versus Zoning Board, 150 Connecticut, 136, County 145, year 1962, Clark versus Town Council, 145, Connecticut, 476, year 1958. However, the Connecticut also made clear that, quote, responsibility for meeting these demands rests under our law with the reasoned discretion of each municipality acting through its duly authorized zoning commission, end quote. Malafronte versus Planning and Zoning Board, 155 Connecticut, 205, 219210, 1967, emphasis supply. In so stating, the Supreme Court did not carve out an exception to allow what the present applicant is now seeking, which amounts to a delegation of the zoning power to the WPZA to decide which additional areas of the town should be eligible for double density 80-plus frontage plus developed lots in the R3 districts, and I am not open for the reason. Finally, the broad effect of the proposed text amendment in further reducing Montville 150-foot R40 zone frontage requirement, where sewers and community water exist, or might be in the future be extended, and the cluster development proposed is nothing at all like the specific recent enactment by the Connecticut legislature requiring municipal zoning regulations to allow an accessory apartment on each lot containing a single-family residence in designated zoning districts, unless the municipality opts out of this requirement, as was currently suggested at your September 27th meeting as a justification for granting the present application. In fact, Section 6A, Subsection 3 of the Public Act requires zoning regulations to set a maximum net floor area for an accessory apartment of not less than 30% of net floor area of a single dwelling, or 1,000 square feet, whichever is less. Whatever the merits of allowing small accessory apartments with less than 1/3 of the floor area of the principal residence on each and every lot is designated zone of Montville, the application now before the commission is for the commission to empower itself to reduce the frontage requirement and thus create twice as many lots under circumstances beyond its control, including sewer extensions which don't yet exist, not with allowing an extra unit per lot, although one may wonder if that is coming next. What is before you thus has nothing to do with whatever the legislature is seeking to encourage. In the present situation, several reasonable solutions suggest themselves. If Old Colchester Road LLC is experiencing an exceptionally difficult or unusual hardship with regard to its development plans for a particular parcel of land, it should seek relief from the Zoning Board of Appeals. On the other hand, if what is really being sought amounts to a zone change affecting multiple and identifiable parcels, and the Planning and Zoning Commission certainly has the power to approve changes to the zoning map, possibly by creating a specific district limiting the accommodation being sought by the applicant to certain areas where public sewer and water currently exist. A third, even easier solution, free of the intra-district uniformity problem, improper delegation of zoning authority to the WPCA, and or usurpation of the variance power of the commission, each discussed above, would be for the applicant to simply amend its application or submit a new one to provide the following text instead, if served by public sewer and water, italicized as the effective date of this amendment. Very truly yours, John C. Chase.
Okay, thank you, Colleen. Yes.
Leave it out to the public who wants to.
Your,
Attorney Heller. Just want to note that Mr. Gladue's letter came in at 12 noon today, and Mr. Chase's very long letter that was just read into the record came in at 3:11 today. So I have read both documents. My staff report is not inclusive of responding to that. Mr. Gladue, I think, is pretty self-explanatory what he wrote. Mr. Chase's, I think, is similar in intent to his first letter, except he's added a few other things about accessory apartments, and I'm not sure where that came from, actually. So I just wanted to let you know the basic premises after all those three pages is he would like to add to the proposed amendment that if served by public water and sewer as of the effective date of this amendment. So in other words, only properties that are connected to public water and sewer right now, let's say, or whenever the effective date, if you pass this, he wants only those properties to be able to be go to this text amendment.
So through his testimony, that's his suggestion.
And then he sent me an email after reading my report and duplicated that statement within my email. I have it here. I certainly can enter it as part of the record, but it's really just a very informal.
All right, we're going to let the applicant speak in 1 minute. I just want to remind the commission members it's a public hearing. The public hearing is in regards to this specific application regarding text amendment. So even the letter Colleen read in there, I think there's a lot of information that, quite frankly, if Attorney Chase was here this evening, I would have reminded him to keep his comments relative to the text amendments. I think there's some things that go off course there. And they're not part of what we're here to listen to this evening. So I'm just bringing that up for all of you. So, Liz, thank you. Any other comments? I know those were last minute in the door.
No, I can comment after the public comment. I just want to remind everybody that if you, you know, further down, that text amendments have to be, we would need 5 out of 6 votes for this text amendment to pass.
Okay.
And again, I offered up a motion that you can use or not, and if there is a motion to not approve the application, you needed to state your reasons for the record. And that's, just want to remind everyone of that that little procedural vote that has to go off.
Right. So you're aware of that. If we should vote this evening, and if your intention is to not agree with this, we need to state reasons into the record. Okay. Attorney Heller, the applicant. Attorney for the applicant.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I made my presentation at the last meeting. I'll reserve my concluding comments to any public testimony.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're going to go to the public. Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak in favor of the application? Mr. George, you'd like to speak in favor of the application?
I'm a little ahead of myself.
Okay. So is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of the application? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to the application? Sure. Please state your name. And again, please keep your testimony directed to what the application is requesting.
My name is Richard George. I live at 974 Old Colchester Road in Oakdale. As I stated when I was here last month, I've been through much the same process 10 years ago. And I'm very much concerned that here in Montville that we're going to lose our aesthetic appeal. I bought a home that has 2 acres of land and that I'm in a wooded setting. And I hate to see that kind of atmosphere change here in town. I said that I look at your change to the regulation that would allow 10 feet on side separations. That means only 20 feet between houses. Just by time, if you were to put a driveway into somebody's backyard, you would hardly be able to have any land at all between the driveway, the house, and the side borders. I'm concerned that if I look out my door and I see clusters of houses around me, across the street from me, behind me, that it's completely going to change the setting of why I moved here to Montville. My concern is that we should be looking at these kind of cases on a case-by-case basis for anybody who wants to change or reduce any of the existing zoning regulations. We're giving a blanket approval for them to be able to do this any place that fits where you can put a sewer and a water supply in. That's my concern. And again, I think it would affect the whole town. And I think if there were a lot more people that really realized this, how this could affect their own personal atmosphere around where they live, and that, again, the atmosphere of the town. Mr. Heller, he represents people who gain financially from this. They're able to put twice as many houses on the same piece of property. I would not like to see that change our environment here and change the setting of the town just to satisfy people who want to get rich from land use. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Sure. Would you please state your name, address, and for the record?
name is Gary O'Byrne. I live at 20 Dock Road, Uncasville. And I've lived in this town for over 80 years. I like the town where I don't have people pile up on me and all around me. And I don't think that this kind of stuff is good for the town or good for the people. And it certainly would change the neighborhood you lived in. That's my some of my concerns. And it's probably more taxes in the long run way from it later on.
Thank you very much. Okay. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of the application? Last call. Anyone want to speak in favor? Anyone like to speak in opposition? Anyone would like to speak in opposition? Attorney for the applicant, would you like a rebuttal time?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You've received some information both at the September public hearing and this evening, things that were read into the record that are just categorically wrong. They are not an accurate reflection of Connecticut law. And it's upsetting to me to hear statements made by somebody who does know the law but is willing to come before this commission by correspondence and intentionally misrepresent that law to you. Now, this is a legislative change application. You are acting as the legislative zoning authority in the town of Montville, and Connecticut law gives you liberal discretion to amend your zoning regulations as you see fit, based upon the present and future needs of the municipality. But your authority is not boundless. You are charged by Connecticut law to adopt regulations in accordance with a comprehensive plan. And the comprehensive plan is embodied in your zoning regulations and your zoning map. And you are also charged by statute to consider the plan of conservation and development that you have enacted in your capacity as a planning commission, which is a 10-year roadmap for the future development of the town, and is your recommendation in your planning capacity for future zoning amendments that you may consider to bring those recommendations to fruition. Now, it was stated this evening, and it was stated in Mr. Gladue's letter, that this proposal will increase density. Absolutely false. The application is an application to amend a specific provision of your R40 zoning regulations dealing with cluster subdivisions. Under your cluster zoning regulations, density is not increased at all in a cluster subdivision. In fact, density is based on the lot yield that the land will provide under the existing R40 zoning regulations. What the cluster zoning regulations do is allow the developer to cluster building lots with smaller lots, smaller frontage, and reduced setbacks, and to make up the differential by the provision of open space within that development. So you do not get any more lots. You get lots that are built on smaller, or homes that are built on smaller lots that are clustered in order to take advantage of the extraordinary infrastructure expenses that are incurred by a developer today. And as I indicated last month when I was before you, you have not had any new roads built in the town of Montville since 2008. Why? The answer to that is because it is not economical for a developer to build new road based on lot value and house prices in Montville today. The second thing I want to point out is that a cluster subdivision is both a subdivision application under your subdivision regulations as well as a zoning regulation under section 16.10 of your zoning regulations. It is a special permit use. It is not a use permitted by right. So in evaluating an application that comes before you for a cluster subdivision, you have the discretion vested in you as a zoning commission to consider all of the general evaluation criteria for special permits that are contained in section 16 of your zoning regulations. Now, the parameters that I chose in drafting this regulation for your consideration was not just picked out of thin air. The setback requirements and the frontage requirements are those requirements that you, as a zoning commission, have enacted for the R20 zoning district in the town of Montville. And you have zoned land in the town of Montville in the R20 zoning district classification in those areas where water and sewer are available. The purpose of this regulation is to provide flexibility in residential development in a few areas that we have in the town of Montville, some of which were identified in the staff report that was presented to you last month, where water and sewer are available but the land is still zoned in the R40 zoning classification. And if you look at the policies and goals, again, that you enacted in your capacity as a planning commission, in your plan of conservation and development, goals for housing, housing investment areas, designate areas within sewer district boundary areas with existing public sewer systems for higher density development, i.e. lots less than 20,000 square feet. And I will note for the record that the proposal in this legislative change is lots of 20,000 square feet in the R40 zone where water and sewer is available, which is again consistent with the R20 zoning district and also consistent with the recommendation of your plan and conservation and development. Diverse housing. Allow on a long-term basis for the development of diverse housing types, including affordable housing, to help address identified housing needs. Evaluate progress of units built under the town's existing affordable housing regulations, include in housing investment areas on future land use map, designate areas within sewer district boundary, areas with existing public sewer systems for higher density development, i.e. lots less than 20,000 square feet. Again, this proposal is for lots of 20,000 square feet, as is currently allowed in the section 16.10 of your zoning regulations. So we are not proposing a reduction of lot size at all from what currently exists in your regulations. What we are proposing is a reduction of frontage and a reduction of setbacks in order to make the regulations amenable to encourage development and to provide housing units at a reasonable cost in the town of Montville. You had received a letter that was read into the record this evening proposing that the applicant consider going to the Zoning Board of Appeals seeking a variance. That also is disingenuous. And that was in both Mr. Gladue's letter and in Attorney Chase's letter. And Attorney Chase should know better, and in fact does know better. There is no justification whatsoever for a variance in any of the potential properties that might qualify for development under the proposed amendment to the cluster zoning regulations. In order to grant a variance, a municipal zoning board of appeals must, number one, determine that there is a unusual hardship or an exceptional difficulty that applies to the property for which the application has been filed, but does not apply generally to properties throughout the district. That clearly is a burden that no applicant can meet under the current state of Connecticut case law. The second requirement for a variance is that the proposal must be in conformance with the comprehensive plan. That obviously the applicant can't meet, but it can meet. But it's not an either or. You have to have exceptional difficulty or unusual hardship. And in a situation where a developer is proposing the development of unimproved land, the courts have consistently found that if there is a potential under the existing regulations for the development of that property, that that burden has not been met. And the court doesn't take into consideration the factors that you, in your legislative authority, should take into consideration, which is the overall benefit to the town of Montville of encouraging development, encouraging growth, and providing housing at a reasonable price point, all of which are recommendations contained in your plan of conservation and development. There is also a suggestion that the text amendment be modified to provide, if served by public sewer and water, as of the effective date of this amendment. That is disingenuous also. Obviously, this regulation is applicable to undeveloped parcels of land that may come before your commission in an application for a subdivision and a cluster development. They're not served by public water and sewer currently. They're undeveloped. If that language was changed to properties that currently have access to public water and sewer as of the date of this amendment, I, representing Old Colchester Road, LLC, would not be opposed to it. I don't think that's in the best interest of the town of Montville. I believe that the regulation, as it has been proposed, best serves the long-term interests of the town. I can assure you that it is highly unlikely that any developer is going to extend water and sewer utilities to a piece of property for the opportunity to come within the scope of the regulation as we propose that it be amended. The cost of installing public utilities in municipal road is very expensive, and the economics of the residential development of a parcel for single-family residential purposes, and remember, your cluster development regulations only apply to single-family developments, just does not justify that expenditure. But over a period of time, the municipality may determine that it is advantageous for utilities to be extended in areas as time and circumstances dictate. And I would submit to you that where utilities are extended, that this regulation benefits, as proposed, benefits the town of Montford. I do not believe that 20,000 square foot lots or lots developed at 80 foot frontage are a disadvantage to the town. In fact, I would argue just the opposite. The desires of the purchasing public today are for smaller lots with less maintenance requirements. The regulation would result in less infrastructure in the future for the town to maintain. As the staff report indicates, it would result in less impervious surface and would be more consistent with the town's requirement to minimize stormwater runoff. I believe that the regulation as proposed to the commission represents a good legislative change to the town of Montville. It is clearly consistent with the comprehensive plan that you adopted, and it is consistent with the plan of conservation and development that you adopted. It does not take discretion away from the commission because cluster subdivisions are a special permit use, and if and when an application comes before you, you can consider those evaluation criteria. If you look in your regulations, I believe it's section 16.2 or 16.3 that has the general evaluation criteria, which consider things such as consistent with values of homes in the area, prevention of overcrowding, the general type of amorphous considerations that you are allowed to consider when acting on a special permit application. So I would encourage the commission to approve this amendment. I believe that this amendment will serve the town well. Thank you.
Thank you. Commission members, do you have any questions for the applicant? Liz, do you have any comments?
No, actually, there were a few comments I was going to make, but Attorney Heller already addressed them with regards to any individual application needing a special permit where the commission has some criteria that they have discretion over. Yes. So that was one thing I wanted to note based on a public comment, that they should get individual variances. Special permit is going to give you a lot of criteria to approve that. The other thing I wanted to say was, in my experience, cluster open space subdivisions, I have found that there are a lot of people that want smaller lots, and I think that sometimes the open space is a great trade-off, because depending on what the open space may be, there may be trail systems, there may be power lines for people to walk. So although you may have smaller lots, you're going to preserve the open space. And, you know, one goal of the POCD is to connect open spaces, you know, open space that maybe the Nature Conservancy owns or Avalonia. And you could connect these at some point. And I have found that, you know, people like that. They like to go to the end of their cul-de-sac and maybe take a trail walk through, you know, through the open space. So I certainly support the application, and for the reasons that I listed in my staff report.
Okay.
And that's it, unless anyone has any other questions for me.
Okay. Any questions for Liz?
I do have a question. Could you refresh us on 16.2 special permit guidelines, please?
You got it.
Thank you.
I was going to open that up, too.
Yeah, I know Attorney Heller brought it to our attention. I don't know him off the top of my head.
So site plans is 17, so special permit 18, Colleen, or 16? Anyways. So section 16 has the criteria for special permits, but then also, you know, different types of development that have additional applications. So let me see. Bear with me. 16.3. Ah, here we go. 16.3. On for a long ways on this, huh? 102. Perfect. Ah, here we go. Okay. No, where's the criteria? Special permit criteria. Not that 102.
No.
But this is the beginning of it, so.
The general evaluation criteria.
I know. Provisions.
Uh-huh. 16.2 special permit.
You have to
so in other words, the cluster is subject to a special
permit. Well, I tried
411. We have that.
That's the criteria for the
special permit. Where is it? They changed this? Oh, so these are the, so each one of these new things I'm going to consider.
I'm going to have the latest updated, though that right. That's hasn't been changed. So it just may be in a different version.
So 16.5, we found it. Finally, I apologize. I haven't tabbed up my book yet. So in reviewing an application for special permit, the commission shall consider the following criteria and shall make a finding that the development... they consider compliance with regulations, frontage improvements, traffic access, emergency access, erosion sediment control standards, surface and groundwater protection, water supply, and the two most important ones are J, which is public health and safety, that the site and the building plan shall be designed so as to minimize any delay, inconvenience, and expense of providing for the public health, safety, and welfare, including but not limited to adequate access for emergency vehicles and equipment, adequate water supply for firefighting, adequate utility capacity, floodproofing measures, which may be desirable even if over and above the requirements of these regulations, protection of the natural environment, avoidance of glare visible from public streets or adjacent property. So the commission has discretion that a special permit application has to comply with public health and safety. It also has to comply with, you have discretion over whether it is the appropriateness of use. So the proposed use shall be appropriate for the desert. This is kind of, I guess, the most for what some of the concerned I've seen are. Proposed use shall be appropriate for the designated location with regard to the size and intensity of the proposed use and its relation to existing land uses and shall be such as to be in harmony with the appropriate and orderly development of the area in which it is to be situated and will not be detrimental to the orderly development of adjacent properties. The capacity of adjacent feeder streets to accommodate peak and average traffic volumes and special traffic characteristics of the proposed use. And the avoidance of non-residential traffic through residential streets. The development will not hinder or discourage the appropriate development and use of adjacent land and buildings or impair the value thereof, the overall impact on neighborhood values, and the special problems or fire or police protection inherent in the proposed use, the preservation of the character of the neighborhood in terms of scale, density, and intensity of use, architectural character, and similar factors, the availability of adequate effluent disposal, water supplies, stormwater disposal systems, and other special burdens on utilities, which the use may entail. The use may be carried out so as to protect and enhance and without undue destruction of valuable historic or natural resources or the pollutions of lakes, streams, and other water bodies while providing the best possible design of structures and land uses compatible with the shape, size, and topographic and natural character of the site. So when an application comes before you, the commission has discretion over any of these things. So if even if the regulation is passed, someone would have to submit a subdivision and a special permit application. And all of these criteria have to be considered by the commission. You have discretion over whether or not that development complies with these things. So I just, that would be the special permits. We used to call them special permit standards, but it looks like Marcia changed it since the last time I was here. So, but that's the general gist of what you consider when you have a special permit application in front of you.
So there's some buzzwords in there like harmony.
Harmony.
Which legal beagles would fight all day long.
Well, appropriateness of scale.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, does it fit into the ambiance of the neighborhood? I mean, there's a lot of buzzwords we've put in this.
Well, it's...
And
yeah. I'm sorry,
just,
go ahead.
No, I just want to point out that we have a lot of leeway according to that definition.
Absolutely.
Tremendous amount of leeway.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you get the legal team coming at us, and not that that's a concern at this point, but I'm saying we use words in this that are difficult to find continuity in amongst across the commission sometimes. See what I'm saying? Like we, our words are kind of flowery,
right?
But I don't disagree with them. I like the idea of the architectural theme of the neighborhood, etc. Those are my words, but I think there's a lot of protection in that special permit, commission members.
Absolutely. And I want to add,
I think there's a lot of protection there.
I'm sorry, if you denied a special permit for any one of these reasons, you would have to have documents that were submitted as the record backing up your denial and saying it's not appropriate, it's not to scale. All the record documents would go toward your decision, and if you denied it, you have to give a reason. So if the size and intensity, you would base your decision on maps or maps of the area. I mean, have to back up your reasons. So if you thought everything was great, that's great. If you thought based on the record something needed to be denied, then you submit that for the record in any denial.
Thank you.
Question for staff.
Yeah, I do have a couple questions just to make sure that I understand. So with the proposed text amendment, it's adding the provided, however, that the lots in the R40 zone may be developed in accordance with the following bulk requirements if serviced by public sewer and water. How many, I don't know who may know this, the answer to this question, how many properties in the town do we have that fall in the R40 zone that have water and sewer?
Yes.
Both.
Yes.
Sorry, what?
I mean, 50,
no.
100, 5, 2,
Colin,
1...
I think our last meeting,
yeah,
Colin.
I don't have the water and sewer.
Well, that's what the text is. The amendment's changing, so we're changing it.
But this is what
we
I
have
mean.
Two.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is what I can tell
okay.
you. There's in the R40 zone itself.
Yes.
There's 1,938 parcels. Okay.
Got it.
Now, in order to meet the cluster
right.
portion of that,
yep.
they have to be over 10 acres.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Acres.
Yep. I got that.
There's
down.
Only 66 properties of
okay.
the 1,938 of the R40s that meet over the 10 acres.
Okay. But that's for a regular cluster development that just, not the ones that have sewer and water, which is what we're changing the text for.
That's correct.
Currently, right now. Okay. So my question is, and I'm kind of trying to go off of, you know, what this gentleman had said and what Attorney Heller had said, you know, if the public sewer and water as of effective date of this amendment, if we're really trying to ultimately grow the existence of having cluster developments, something like that, number one, in my opinion, is detrimental. It doesn't even make sense to consider something like that. Just my opinion. But back to the R40 with public sewer and water, if we only have a limited amount of properties that have that and meet that criteria, what is the definition of spot zoning?
Okay.
The general definition of a spot zone, to spot zone something.
Well, yeah, so I don't have the definition, but
okay.
I
can give you that. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
But I can tell you what it is.
Okay.
First of all, spot zoning deals with the change of zoning district classification of a piece of property.
Okay.
Not a text amendment.
Not
like
a text amendment.
Considering. But okay. In order for it to be spot zoning, it has to meet two criteria. It has to be relatively small in size.
Okay.
And if you look at the court decisions, I would say they vary, but if it's over 20 acres, it's probably not considered small in size. But in addition to being small in size, there must be a determination that it's not in conformance with the comprehensive plan. So those are the two requirements.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to maybe try to avoid any future.
Yeah, and just one more comment. Without public water and sewer, the bulk requirements are greater. And the reason for that is you need to support wells and on-site septic systems. With public water and sewer, you can have smaller lots because those things don't need to be constructed on the lot.
Right. So why is it just if a development can be done with sewer but not water, why is it I guess I don't understand what the difference is and the need of the size if it didn't have water, city water. I know obviously you got to put a well. I understand that.
Right. So here's the thing. When you have on-site septic systems and wells, there's a 75-foot well separation from any portion of any septic system.
Okay.
So if you have a whole bunch of little lots, okay, that, if they just had sewer, you could put a well on each property.
Sure.
Okay? But this is saying only if you have water and sewer.
Understood.
But if you were to have these small lots and you have to support a it looks like, some kids scribbled on a subdivision plan with all the well arcs. And, they can say they're this on the plan, but as individual zoning permits get issued and they're built, I would say an as-built might like touching each other. So that's one of the reasons why public water and sewer would support smaller lots.
Well, separation distance is also, and not just subject to separation distance between wells and septic systems, but there's separation distances, minimum requirements from the public health department that require minimum separation distances between wells, footing drains, wells, storm drains, wells, curtain drains. Right. So if you don't have the public water and you start making these reductions, you start minimizing the chances of getting wells on those lots. So again, why this would apply to water and sewer lots and not lots with just sewer.
Right. No, but the other part of it, too, and I just want to make sure, is that what just seems, I don't mean strange or odd, but what I'm having a hard time understanding is without this particular person asking to do what they're doing, would we be changing this text amendment if there's only two lots or parcels of property currently right now that fall under this criteria?
But in the future, there's
we're looking for the future expansion. I understand
that could have, as Attorney Heller said, circumstances change.
Right.
The town wants to grow
extend
development.
That's right.
There's 66 properties. If they had water and sewer, they could be developed.
Right. No, I'm just trying to see it from both sides. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sarah, did you have a question for staff? All right. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, so if I'm in an R40 property and somebody develops next to me 10 feet from my property line where I'm used to 100 feet, can I say, hey, your special permits says that hurts my feelings, I don't want you to do that? Is that going to be an acceptable reason to deny it?
I have found in my experience, because someone's feelings are hurt, that's not a reason for denial of it.
I'm used to 100 feet. Now you're going to put somebody 10 feet. That's screwing up my lifestyle.
I know.
Well, if you're in an existing R40 and you're not in a cluster subdivision already with reduced setbacks, you wouldn't have somebody 20 feet away from you.
No, you wouldn't.
You would have to be part of the new cluster subdivision. If you're just in an existing R40, it's not going to affect you the same way. It's only going to affect the cluster.
Okay.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, I understand all this and everything else here. What he's worrying about is there's a cluster development. What it is the cluster development's right in the middle. And then there's a big buffer zone all around it. And so you call it a, it looks great, you know? But what people are worried about is, as you call it, all of a sudden, they get a clustered on all over the place. You know, like if I have a house here, and I have a house here, that's 10 acres, and they can put, you call it 10 acres, and they divide up in 10 lots, and they said, well, with a cluster development, we're going to do is we're going to cluster it in the middle, and then have the open space all the way around it, and that should satisfy it, you know? Unless somebody has some wild ideas, and they're going to do a little clustering all over the place and put twice as many houses in there. Right?
And remember also, going back to it's a special plan application.
Right, yeah. So let me just wrap up a couple of things that we should all keep in mind here. First of all, what I'd like to do is close the public hearing. So get a motion to close
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
So I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain? Public hearing's closed. So now let's do this. Let's move on to agenda item 5B for our discussion and decision of the Old Colchester Road LLC proposed zoning regulation text amendment to section 16.10.6 to amend text to add after the word zone, however, that lots in the R40 zone may be developed in accordance with the following bulk requirements: if served by public sewer and water, lot frontage 80 feet, front yard setback 30 feet, rear yard setback 30 feet, side yard setback 10 feet. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
May I add also my recommendation to delete that one sentence about in no case shall rear and front yards be less than 25 feet?
Yes. So, that is in a draft motion. Yes, in
the one that we got tonight has the corrections.
Okay. All right. So let's thank you, Liz. Noted. I just want to remind the commission members of a couple of things as we vote on this, okay? So we've heard a lot of testimony from the public, and for clarity, just look at what our zoning regulations say and what the facts remain. Number one, we've heard the lots are going to double. The density does not increase, okay? If you can get 10 lots, you got 10 lots. So it's not, you're not getting 20 for 10. That was misdirection. The cluster, in this case, where the text amendment is being requested for, has to have water and sewer. So we're down to limited number of parcels, and that criteria has to always remain. So that's what we're making a decision on. It's not an arm wave over the town of Montville to change the face of Montville. It addresses only the lots that are served by public water and sewer. You have to remember, the cluster approval still comes under special permit. This text amendment doesn't blanket approve every lot in Montville tomorrow to go out and reduce their frontage to 80 feet or to 10 feet. It has to happen under our cluster subdivision regulation, and we get another bite at the apple, and we, this commission, review it under the laws and the zoning regulations of the town of Montville. The subdivision comes under review by the commission. So there's two components. It's a subdivision and a cluster subdivision. Both come back in front of this commission for approval. The plan of conservation and development is our guideline legally. If we end up in court over a decision, we are going to be judged by what our plan of conservation and development guideline that we approved, okay, and are we following it moving forward, okay? If you recall, our plan of conservation and development urges us to look at increasing density in areas where we're served by public water and sewer. Keep it in mind when you vote. I think I covered that. Reduction of frontage and reduction of setback is really what this text amendment's all about, okay? We've heard a lot of information. this is what it's about legally as it applies. The comments made about the Zoning Board of Appeals, these are not applications heard by ZBA. Again, ZBA is an appeal process or a hardship process, none which apply in this. So please just recall that. These are the guidelines we have to function in. We thank everybody for their testimony, and we appreciate it. I would entertain a motion. We have a draft motion for approval. I would entertain that motion from somebody with the
Mr.
corrections.
Chair, go ahead. I make a motion to approve application number 221 Zebra Charlie 3 to amend zoning regulations section 16106 to add the following, quote, provided, however, that lots in the R40 zone may be developed in accordance with the following bulk requirements if served by public sewer and water. Lot frontage, 80 feet. Front yard setback, 30 feet. Rear yard setback, 30 feet. Side yard setback, 10 feet. In no case shall any side yard be less than 10 feet. And delete, quote, and no rear or front yard setback shall be less than 25 feet, end quote. Applicable height restrictions shall remain in effect.
And then there's one more paragraph there.
The proposal is consistent with the plan of conservation and development and the comprehensive plan in that the amendments reduce infrastructure costs, minimize the impact on the natural resources of the community, and preserve open space, promote reasonable housing costs, and encourage housing investment areas, cluster development, and diverse housing.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Second by Sarah Lundy. Okay, John, you keep score. John Desjardins?
I pulled
you. You write him down?
Okay, I write him down.
What are we doing?
Taking a vote.
Well, don't we get okay. Discussion
all right,
on the motion?
I'm sorry, discussion on the motion.
Well, I'd like to speak against the motion, and one of the reasons is the 10-foot side lots. As I stated, I think last month, it's caused some problem with the closeness because one house is melting the siding on another house. So that's a little too close. Plus, I think over these few years, we've done plenty for the plan of conservation and development. We've changed our specifications a few times, at least three, I would guess, if not more. So we've been following it. This is just an expansion of something that I don't feel is necessary.
Chairman, may I respond to Commissioner Saragusa?
Sure.
Just to let you know, our regular cluster subdivision regs with the 25% reduction, the side yard setback is 11.25 feet. So they're asking for only a 1.25 foot reduction.
Well, 11's too close. We should expand it.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? Okay. John, keep score.
Okay.
John Desjardins.
In favor.
William Peniads. In favor. Tony Saragusa.
Opposed.
Bruce DeShano.
In favor.
John Estelle isn't here. Chuck Longton.
In favor.
Wills Pike.
In favor.
Sarah Lundy.
In favor.
Joshua Kobeluk's not here. Passes. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to take a brief recess.
Sure. Anyone?
I'll second.
All set?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm good with the special permit.
Carl, when we start, we never set an effective date.
Okay. So we failed to put an effective date in the motion we just passed. So I would entertain a new motion adding the effective date November 15th, 2015. Is that correct, staff?
2021.
Jesus. Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we establish an effective date of November 1st, 2021 for application number 221 Zebra Charlie 3.
Second that motion?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you might have said November 1st. We want it to be November 15th.
I'm sorry.
15th?
Yeah.
15.
I'd like to amend my motion, Mr. Chair, to be November the 15th.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain?
Do we got to vote on the motion now? He made a motion to amend. We approved the amendment. Now we got to vote on the motion.
What's that?
He made a motion to amend, so he amended it. And we approved the amendment, so now we got to vote on the motion.
No, they voted on the amendment,
Just to be clear, would you...
Well, no, it's all set. We just take a vote for the motion now.
Right, the motion, amended. The amended motion is to approve for the approval date to be November 15th. That is the motion that we must now approve.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain? Okay. Are we clear? Are we legally clear?
Did you that, Tom?
Yeah, that's clear now.
Harry, see if Harry's going to hold this.
Okay, thank you very much, and thanks for getting that corrected. Okay, we're still in our public hearing portion of our meeting this evening, and we're going to move to agenda item 5C. Public hearing, PZ 221-5, which is an application of the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission to opt out of Public Act 21-29, reduced parking requirements. So the public hearing is open. Liz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I would like to enter the following staff exhibits into the record. Applicant owners, Montville PVC, the proposed action is to opt out of Public Act 2129, reduced parking requirements, and the public hearing is today, October 26th. Staff exhibits are the September 28th, 2021 meeting minutes, a copy of the legal ad published on the town website on October 15th, 2021, a copy of the legal ad published in the day on October 15th and October 22nd, 2021, staff report dated October 26, 2021, and the entire project folder. And my staff report on this one is much shorter. Got it all on one page, so I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. At your last meeting, you all voted to opt out of the reduced parking requirements that were set forth in Public Act 21-29. So, I gave you all a copy of this, which I'll discuss more later, but there's this little document that the Connecticut APA put out, 2001 Guide to Legislation Impacting Development and Land Use Procedures. So that guide says about reduced parking, that Public Act 2129 requires zoning must not require parking in excess of one space per studio or one bedroom unit, or two spaces for a larger housing unit, unless the municipality opts out of this requirement for a two-step process requiring action by both the Planning and Zoning Commission and the governing body, which would be the Town Council in this case, similar to the ADU opt-out. The Montville PCC, at your last meeting on 9/28, after reviewing the reduced parking requirements portion of the Act, voted to opt out and initiated a public hearing on the matter for today, 10/26. The Planning and Zoning Commission was in favor of more traditional requirements for parking, currently exist in zoning regulations section 18. Again, that notice of public hearing was advertised in the Day Classified and on the town website, as stated before. I added an additional comment that Montville has minimal transit-oriented development, which is identified by the statutes, Connecticut General Statute, subsection 13B-79O, as the development of residential, commercial, and employment centers within 1/2 mile of walking distance of public transportation facilities, including rail and bus, rapid transit, and services that meet transit-supportive standards for land uses, built environment densities, and walkable environments in order to facilitate and encourage the use of those services. Thus, so Montville has minimal, we have, if there's any transit-oriented development, excuse me? One bus, I think it's in front of across from McDonald's, the mall there. So there's a bus stop.
And a city bus.
So reliance on autos creates a need for more parking. So if you're in a transit-oriented development, you're near the train, you're near the bus, you're near the subway, you walk from your house and you hop on one of those public transportation...
helicopters.
Yes, right, exactly. But here in Montville, we don't have that. So there's a need for more parking that would be suitable, taken care of by our traditional parking standards, which you all discussed at your last meeting. So the PCC has to affirmatively decide by a majority vote of the commission and state its reasons, the decision on the record. If PCC votes to opt out, it then must forward the matter to the town council to also affirm that decision by a majority of the members. So the reasons I suggested for approving the motion would be that Planning and Zoning Commission is in favor of more traditional requirements for parking as currently exists in the zoning regulations, and that Montville has minimal transit-oriented development, relies on autos for transportation, thus creating the need for parking.
Okay.
And that's all I got.
Any questions for Liz on the opt-out? I'd entertain the motion in your staff report.
There is one in the staff report.
That's right. We have a public hearing. Would anyone from the public like to speak in favor of this application? Would anyone like to speak in favor of the application? Would anyone like to speak in opposition to the application? Would anyone like to speak in opposition to the application? Okay. Hearing none. Staff, any questions again from the commission members? No? All good? Your motion holds, Sarah? You'll make the motion?
I will make a motion.
Go ahead.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Oh, second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain? Public hearing's closed. Okay. We're going to act on the application of the Montville PZC to opt out of Public Act 21-29, reduced parking requirements.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to also add that there should be, there wouldn't be an effective date because, never mind, sorry, it's late.
Okay.
I apologize.
All right. So if this is approved, it gets recommended, moved on
to the
town
council. Yes, go to
the town
council and the town council would approve it.
Very good. Sarah Lundy.
I will make a motion.
Thank you.
I make a motion to approve application number 221ZC5 to opt out of PA 21-29 reduce parking requirements as follows. 1. The Planning and Zoning Commission is in favor of more traditional requirements for parking as currently exist in Zoning Regulations Section 18, off-street parking regulations. And 2, Montville has minimal transit-oriented development and relies on autos for transportation, thus creating the need for parking.
Thank you.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain? Approved. Thank you.
So, just a question.
So staff will present it, send it to the town council.
Okay. Yes. They would have to also approve it by majority vote.
Yeah, I understand. So they'll get it for their meeting coming up.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Moving on to agenda item 6, old business. Nothing. 7, new business. Connecticut General Statute 824 review for the report to the town council regarding the discontinuance of the road at the end of Fort Shantock Road, 1.69 acres, and Sunny Hill Drive, 1.85 acres. Liz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, as you all know, Connecticut General Statute 824 referral is a report to the town council, either favorable or unfavorable, for the town council to take action on the discontinuance of Fort Shantock Road East, Sunny Hill Drive, and a portion of San Shantock Heights Road, and to quit claim the roads to the Mohegan Tribe of Indians. And, it would be a town discontinuance of those roads and a quit claim of said roads to the Mohegan Tribe. The tribe is the owner in trust of all lands abutting the roads, and the roads or portions thereof have no functional use to the town. They may have at one point. Mm-hmm. This matter has been going on since 2012. I found documentation going back almost 10 years. But now the Mohegan Tribe owns all of the properties around these areas of the road in trust. Just to let you know, Colleen's made you a handy-dandy GIS that's attached to your staff report that shows the areas in red that are proposed to be conveyed. And then we have two maps, a right-of-way acquisition survey for Sunny Hill and Shantock Heights Road. Kind of small, I apologize. And then a survey plan for Fort Shantock Road. And also an agreement dated August 13th between the Mohegan Tribe of Indians and the town. And this agreement, in that agreement between the town and the tribe dated August 13th, addresses the issues of, number one, snow removal, winter sanding and de-icing for Shantock Heights Road in its entirety to be performed by the tribe, with a contingency for the town that if it's not performed by the tribe, town can do it and bill the tribe. Number two, it provides for town emergency access to Sunny Hill Drive and the easterly appendage of Shantock Road for access to privately owned properties in that portion of the road if needed in an emergency. There's going to be a gate at the end of Sunny Hill Drive, Shantock Heights Road. If you look at the map, there's a gate right there. But the town will be provided with a key for emergency access. And so those are the two things. So originally, and I said in my staff report that the quit claim deed would include an easement to the town WPCA for access to and maintenance of its sewer easement. And this discussion has been taking place between Matt Willis of Halloran and Sage as our attorney and Attorney Puller, who may or may not want to comment after my report. Originally, there was going to be an access for the town to easement for the town to access the sewer system for maintenance. However, the tribe would like to have they would like to be able to relocate the sewer system. In that case, there's really no need for the tribe, for the town to have access to those sewer lines. So when you discontinue this road and quit claim it to the tribe, it's basically a driveway. So in any development in the town, if you have a long, long driveway, like to an apartment complex, and there's utilities in the ground under that driveway, it's the property owner's responsibility. So we've had a quit claim deed. It kind of went back and forth, but the latest proposal is that the tribe will own all the infrastructure, and the town will not maintain anything within that area. So I apologize, kind of went back and forth. Some of the reasons I suggested would for approving it would be that the tribe owns in trust all the land abutting the roads. Port Shantok Road has no functional use to the town. Sunny Hill Drive and that portion of Shantok Heights Road, referenced in map one below, and that's what I have attached to your documents, now have no functional use to the town, and provisions have been made in the 8/13/21 agreement for snow removal, winter sanding, and de-icing by the tribe, and emergency access by the town. And number four no longer is applicable because the tribe is going to take ownership of all the infrastructure that will be in there. What was a public road, which will now be a private drive. And I also referenced, there's two maps, and I referenced them in the list that I made, and there's also the agreement dated August 13th that was submitted regarding snow removal. Attorney Heller's here. He's since he's working with Attorney Willis, he is in charge of the quitclaim. I'd appreciate it if he could sort of add his two cents to all of this.
Okay. For the record, Harry Heller, representing the Mohegan Tribe. Just for clarity, these two sections of road do not serve any privately owned properties within the town of Montville. Private property owner is going to be affected by the discontinuance. They serve entirely tribal properties. There is no reason why the taxpayers of the town of Montville should be paying maintenance expenses for roadways that serve another governmental entity. As Liz said, we went back and forth for the last couple of days about the sewer infrastructure, because it made absolutely no sense at all for me for the town of Montville to own the sewer infrastructure and have the responsibility of maintaining it, because it's the same principles that apply to the road itself. So finally this afternoon we came to agreement that the tribe would own the sewer infrastructure and would be responsible for maintaining it. Just like you have sewer infrastructure at any of your multifamily or condominium projects in town that are owned by the property owner. Of course, the tribe continues as a ratepayer to pay the rates at the applicable rates for sewer use to the town. So I think the thing makes perfect sense. If you have any questions, I'll
try. So there's no existing privately owned land currently or access to any in the future by
no
abandonment of these. No. So from a planning and zoning standpoint, these become...
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's not even owned by the tribe. It's owned by the United States of America in trust for the tribe, all of the abutting property. So
okay,
that's not reversing soon.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
The Fort Shantok Road that's to the left of this parcel, is that the tribe still?
What? I don't know what you're looking at.
Here, you can have this.
Mr. Siragusa, are you looking at this map?
Yeah.
Which portion are you talking about, this here?
Yeah. Well, do we know it?
The areas that we're talking about discontinuing right now are here.
Yeah, I can see it on the map. There's Fort Shantok here. Whose is that? I mean, is ours or theirs?
You're testing my eyes.
Oh. Well, here's the piece we're doing away with. Right here is the other
that
piece.
That continues to be ours.
That's ours. That's the red is there.
Two-way.
Oh. Hold on. Oh, okay, so that's ours.
Let me look at something I can see.
Well, I trust.
Okay. So.
Okay. I here, trust what he says.
No.
Here's Fort Shantok Road.
Down here.
Yeah.
That's where this is under 2A.
Okay, so this is the towns.
That's the towns. Okay. This used to go up to where they had the ash landfill.
No, I'm all set. I just didn't.
Yeah.
So it's
I
from
didn't
here.
Realize this road went under because I was concerned if we needed a cul-de-sac.
No, no, that goes under
the properties.
Yeah. All the way down to Derry Hill Road.
Okay.
So this is the piece right here.
Okay.
Chuck, you had a question.
Yes. For the town planner, please. It says, with the contingency for the town, if not performed by the tribe. So if the tribe does not do that, we're on the hook to plow that road?
So there's a section in here that states that the tribe will plow the entirety. And Tony Heller can correct me if I'm wrong. Plow the entirety of Shantok Heights Road, even the town portion, correct?
Correct.
Even the town portion will be maintained by the Mohegan Tribe. So even going past this red area, there's the agreement says they can do that. Now, for some reason they don't do that, the town will go in and take care of snow removal, de-icing, sanding, and then they can charge Mohegan Tribe for the work.
Okay, so.
In other words, we're protecting our portion of Shantok Heights Road. The tribe is agreeing to do it, but if they don't, we have to do it for the residents.
And we charge them for it. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the other part of the question was for number two, it says town emergency access, et cetera, et cetera, for privately owned properties, if necessary. Who decides that it's necessary, and again, are we on the hook to do that?
Well, I can tell you that there's going to be a gate here. It's going to be locked. So if you come up Sunny Shantok Heights, which is a town road, you won't be able to get past this area. But if for some reason emergency services has to come up Sunny Hill Drive, which will not be gated, and get through there, the town emergency services will have a key to access that gate. I assume the police department, I assume the fire department. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
So...
And again, if you look at the map, this is the craziest road alignment I've ever seen in my life. You have two roads that are parallel to each other about 10 feet apart.
Yeah.
So Shantok Heights Road serves private properties. So the town is retaining that. But because this is going to be gated off here, there is no way that the town can plow this because there's nowhere to turn around up here. So that's why, and this, like Liz says, this has been going on for about 10 years.
Right, they had the same situation for Maynard Road years ago. There's
yeah.
no turnaround on the end.
Right. So that's why ultimately the tribe agreed that the tribe will plow this
right.
for the town. So it's snow plowing only. The town's still responsible for maintaining the road, but the tribe is responsible for snow plowing.
Okay. And how will the town be notified that they have to come and do it because the town didn't? Would the residents there call them? Or?
The tribe's going to do it. I mean, you know, they're a government.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
They got more money than
yeah, but I still don't understand who makes the decision that it's necessary.
Well, if there's a blockage on Shantok Heights Road where emergency services cannot get to one of these residences, that agreement gives them the right to access through Sunny Hill Drive.
Okay. So I'm assuming then that the mayor would direct the Department of Public Service to go do that.
There's not going to be any discussion. If there's an emergency that they need to get to a fire or an ambulance or something.
Of that type, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one's going to be notifying anyone.
No, but if for example, it needs to be plowed.
Yeah, somebody will complain.
Yeah,
somebody
it'll complain, and you know, police
right, they
will let Public Works know. And
okay, but the Public Works is under the direction of the mayor, so the mayor would need to direct Don to go do that.
Well, the Public Works is going to have a key.
Okay.
And again, if there's an emergency, they're going to just go.
And let me just remind everybody. I mean, great dialogue, but you know, our input into this our responsibility here is to view this from a planning zoning perspective.
the contractual minutia of the maintenance is really the responsibility of our town council to get into place with their department heads.
Some words just make me shoot from the hip, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. Any other questions for staff regarding this? Tony, you good?
Oh, I'm very good.
Okay, I'd like to hear that.
I would like to suggest if there's a favorable report that number four be revised to say that provisions will be made for the ownership and maintenance of the sewer system in said roads in a quitclaim deed from the town to the tribe. Before it was, so in other words, we don't have an, it's not in the agreement, but it's going to be put in the quitclaim deed, and we have a copy of it that Matt Willis had signed off on.
So run that by me again. Number four, that provisions will be made for
the ownership and maintenance, the infrastructure, sewer system.
Ownership and maintenance. I write slow.
Of the infrastructure?
Infrastructure.
Oh, boy.
What else?
In a quitclaim deed from the town to the tribe.
Okay.
And that would be
you have that, Chuck?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think you can just delete number four completely.
Or we can do that.
Because when you're conveying fee title, unless you're reserving something,
it goes
you're giving
it.
Them everything.
Okay.
Well, then that would be easier.
Amen. Well, so we'll delete number four.
Okay, that's
the question.
Sure.
The sewer belongs to the Water Pollution Control Authority.
It
doesn't belong to the town.
Well, okay. It does in the public right-of-way, but when this reverts to if you would put sewer up a private drive, right, an extension of a common drive even, WPCA wouldn't take ownership from a maintenance level. It would be responsibility of the private landowner.
Oh, no, I got no problem right? giving it to the tribe. I just think you probably got to ask WPCA.
Oh.
That's all the only thing okay. I'm concerned about. But you do whatever you think's best.
Yeah, and I can tell you that the mayor spoke with Derek of the WPCA today, and certainly that's something the town council can vet out. But this is our report.
Well, no,
if the town council thinks it needs WPCA approval, then they can make that a part of their decision.
Okay.
But they were consulted. WPCA was consulted today.
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
This is nagging me hard. It's been 10 weeks and this thing's been signed off. Ink is dry. Why is this 824 coming to us now? It's backwards. Why is it coming to us now? This deal was struck, done, ink dry, and now the 824 comes to us. So what's the bearing of us
Actually,
even approving it?
If you look at the letter from Attorney Heller requesting this 824 referral, it was dated September 2020.
Yes.
The request was submitted by Attorney Heller back the year before.
I fully understand that, but still, the ink is dry. It's done deal. Lawyers have signed, right, according to this?
Well, it's an agreement that the town council has to consider if it's going to discontinue and quitclaim the road. So it's something they have to look at, and both parties have agreed on that.
So it's not a done deal.
It's
not a done deal.
There's an agreement that was signed in August.
Thank you.
About maintenance and snow plowing, but until the town council actually approves the conveyance and a discontinuance, there's a whole procedure they have to go through to discontinue a public road. It's not a done deal till all of that's taken care of.
Thank you.
Basically, that was part of the negotiation process between the town and the tribe.
Okay, thank you. All right, so hearing no other questions for staff, I'd entertain a motion from the staff report from the commission member, please. Tony?
It's in the staff report?
Here you go. I'll give you mine.
Okay.
Right here. We're deleting number four.
Okay. I make a motion to forward a favorable report in accordance with CGS 8-24 to the Town Council for discontinuance of Fort Shantock Road East, Sunny Hill Drive, and a portion of Shantyke Heights Road, easterly appendages, and to quit claim said road to the Mohegan Tribe of Indians Tribe for the following reason. One, the tribe owns and trusts all land abutting said roads. Two, Fort Shantyke Road referred in map 2 below has no functional use to the town. Three, Sunny Hill Drive and that portion of Shantyke Road referred in map 1 below now have no functional use to the town, and provisions have been made in the 8/13/21 agreement referenced in number 3 below for snow removal, winter sanding, de-icing by the tribe, and emergency access by the town.
Second that motion. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor for a favorable review?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain? Send it to the town council.
I'll let them get rid of it.
Thank you. Okay. Flying right along here. We have agenda item 7B under new business, PZ number 221-1, POCD, application of the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission for the 2021 proposed amendments to the 2010 Montville Plan of Conservation and Development. Are we setting a public hearing?
Mr. Chairman, at your last meeting, you asked for the public hearing to set for 12/14/21.
Yes.
Therefore, our department has referred it out to the town council, which has to be done 65 days ahead of time.
Okay.
I actually attended the town council meeting, answered some questions from them, and explained how they should review it and comment. We sent it to the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments. I believe it's posted on the website. And Meredith can help me out with this town clerk's office. And I carried it in the town clerk's office. So we're moving right along. I also, not only did I refer it to the town council, I also referred it to the Conservation Commission, the Wetlands Commission, the Economic Development Commission, and the Conservation Wetlands EDC. So I referred it to other boards and commissions, which isn't always done or hasn't always been done here in the past, but I think that, you know, the POCD, these boards and commissions need to read at least the sections that apply to their boards and comment. So we've done that as well.
Okay, so this is on the agenda this evening for an update, is that correct?
No action taken? Tonight.
Okay, all right. Going to move on to agenda item 8, zoning matters. October zoning officer report. Yes. Tiffany.
Oh, you'll find in front of you my ZOEO officer report.
Yep.
Okay. If you need to talk to me, you're welcome to ask questions, email me or give me a call.
Same old crap.
Wow. Yep. Okay. Any questions for Tiffany regarding the zoning report? You can take it, review it, and hold your questions on it till the next meeting. I'm sure we'll have another one. Everybody good?
Yep.
Okay. Liz Burdick, the new town planner, you're up.
I did not give you all a written report because, frankly, I just didn't have time to put it all together, but I've been keeping a running commentary of all the things I've worked on in the month that I've been here. Just to let you know, my staff report, today they were late. I was out for most of one week last week for an unavoidable reason, and so I was a little late getting this together. My goal is the Friday before the meeting to email them to you, or if you want to pick them up, you can come to the office and pick them up. My goal is to have them ready. I'm not saying there won't be time, maybe one isn't because of the last minute thing, but that's my goal, so that you have time to review everything before you get to the meeting. So I've been working on the PZC applications, the POCD, the opt-out, the referral, and the cluster subdivision. There's an appeal before the ZBA for appeal the decision of the ZO, and we have one attorney that's representing the ZBA. We have one attorney that will represent our CEO, Tiffany, in the matter. I am, however, trying to resolve that matter, and hopefully we can get the appeal withdrawn and save ourselves a boatload of attorney's fees. So just throwing that out there. I'm hoping. I know that one part of the appeal is already resolved. We're working on the rest. Just to let you know, we submitted the annual report to the mayor's office on 10/13/21. Next thing, affordable housing plan. So the town's affordable housing plan, we're on the finish line. It has to be completed by 6/1/2021. There was a grant that the town council had resolved to apply for, but it was not applied for. So Mayor McDaniel appropriated from funds from the ARPA to allow us to hire a consultant, because at this late date, it's going to have to be done by an outside consultant. I have received an MOU from the COG, and I have hired them to be our consultant. It's going to be, it's got to be approved by the town council. I want to run it through all of you. It's under $10,000. It does not have to, an RFP does not have to be done. The COG planners, they've done this for many towns in southeastern Connecticut. I don't know about many, but four or five. They have a lot of data that they've gathered, and I think they would be the most cost-effective way of getting this done versus putting it out to an RFP and getting various it's under 10, so we don't have to.
What's a COG?
Sorry, what?
What's a COG?
Oh, the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments, okay. Mr. Butler's organization.
Oh.
Okay, so. I'm sorry, what?
Did you say the affordable housing plan was due?
Is due June 1st, 2022.
That's a little late.
I misheard.
So we have, sorry, I might have misspoke. Yes?
You said that that they've done this for four or five other towns. Are they towns comparable to the size of Montville?
Might be a little bit smaller. I know they did Salem's. I know they did Preston's, I believe. I can certainly get a list, but they represent all of the towns in southeastern Connecticut. Ledger, they represent Ledger, which is similar in population.
Similar demographics.
Yeah, they have all the demographics. Okay. They're the ones that put together the regional plan of conservation and development. They provide us with seminars on affordable housing. They have a lot of information, and that's what they do. They don't deal with the public. They work on projects for the council of government. So there's two planners, Carly, and there's another girl that just started. I don't recall her name. We would ask that we would have a special meeting, and she would come in, and after she gathered all the information, she'd come in and address you, provide you what she had before, request comment, and then we would go from there. So if everyone's okay with that, speak now or forever hold your peace, so to speak, because we got to get this done. It has to be done. The plan of conservation and development, we referred it to the council and SCOG for reports, and I attended the council in 10/13 and made a presentation to them. So PA 2129 requirement. So we approved the preamble. You approved the preamble as a text amendment. We just opted out tonight of the reduced parking. And what I have provided for you tonight is that book with the orange cover. That's that land use summary. What I'm doing now, so now that we've got those two out of the way, yes, Colleen, she's gonna be your, what I'm doing now is I'm going through and I'm putting a summary together for you, and I want to address that at your next meeting on November 9th. and then we could set a plan for going forward. Some of these things have to be opted out. I think it might even be the ADUs by January 2023. I apologize. It's a lot of dates. So I encourage you all to read that. And what I will do is send you a report with the sections that the Planning and Zoning Commission has to do something. I've been working on the town dock project with Tom and Colleen. I'm working with CLA engineers on the town's MS4 project. I'm working on a matter at 441 Old Colchester Road regarding the old home. I'm working on the following grants: LOTSIP, STEEP, and our OSWA grant. The OSWA grants, we have that or we don't? No, the community connectivity grant. So there's three grants: LOTSIP, STEEP, community connectivity that the town received. I have no idea what the status is. So Colleen is putting binders together for me so that we can straighten out what reports are due, what actions have to be taken. The next one is, this is kind of an interesting one. So I received a call on a Wednesday from representatives of Dakota Partners who are redoing the mill into residential.
Oh, yeah.
So they called me on a Wednesday and said, hey, Liz, would the town be interested in applying for a brownfields grant for $2 million and then passing it through to us? The whole process that it goes with. So I said, I don't know. So I spoke with the mayor. What happened was Dakota Partners was about 2 weeks away from closing, and the bank said, we want more money put into escrow for remediation. So there's a brownfields grant that is applied for by the town. It'll be applied for, I think, $1.5 million. So the reason it didn't come to you first was they called me on a Wednesday and the application was due the following Friday. So Dakota Partners agreed to complete the entire application, and I'll get a copy of it and forward it to you all. But it needed a resolution from the town council. So the mayor called a special meeting of the town council. Dakota Partners went and made a presentation. I was there and answered any questions they had. And the brownfields grant has been applied for. As you know, this mill redevelopment is an important project for the town. And how many years has this been going on? This was started when I was here 3.5 years ago.
Four or five.
And it'll be a pass-through grant. It'll have to be paid back to the town. I don't have all the details for you yet, but I will get you the details at the next meeting. So. This was a 1 week, oh my God, I can't believe we actually got the application done, but it was done, it was reviewed, it was signed, and it was applied for, and we'll see where that goes. So that's about it. There's a whole bunch of other grants that are coming across our desk, and you know, the problem with getting grants is, you know, these days it's kind of easy to get grants. But the problem is managing them. So it takes a lot of work to manage grants. There's a lot of reporting requirements. There's a lot of deadlines you have to meet. So right now, I've decided to concentrate on what we have. And then once we get that straightened out, we can start looking for other grants, say, for the town dock project or other projects. So that's where I am with the grants. I have one more thing, and then I'll be done, I promise. So Tiffany ran into a situation where she received a complaint that someone had a Connex box in the WRP 160 zone. And this commission did a regulation amendment to prohibit Connex boxes in residential zones. But I understand there was some discussion about allowing them on farms or on properties that were large, 5 acres, 10 acres. But you didn't amend that application to include those. So what we would have to do, this Connex box is being put there for agricultural purposes, and I think it's a very large piece of property.
Yeah, 22 acres.
But if we don't have the authority to vary zoning regulations. So if it says no Connex boxes in the residential zones, we can't approve it. So I'm wondering if any of you are interested in revisiting the agricultural and large acre property for Connex boxes in residential zones.
Oh boy.
I think we had the conversation that we were interested in revisiting it for large acre parcels and agricultural.
Yes, that's
conditions.
Correct.
Yes?
Yep.
Yeah. We'd say we.
So one of the reasons why I bring it up is that we're going to have public hearings coming up. So we, you know, it's not like we have to do a public hearing just for that.
Well,
there's going to be other things.
Well, that was my question.
Back to that.
This is a potential violation which we can sort of put on hold. Well, if the commission is deciding to pursue this, you know, do you want me to do a separate application or do you want me to wait until we have a big housekeeping? I mean, we can do an application just to amend that section. It's up to all of you, and that's my question to you.
What's going to be the least impact to the property owner?
As far as...
Which course of action would prevent them from a violation and from...
So resolving the violation, you mean, by doing putting together an application that could be...
Did we not agree that we could issue a temporary six-month permit for...
Not that I'm aware of.
Storage trailers or anything like that? I thought we had...
Yeah, I thought we did for pods and stuff.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
We had pods and stuff because people moving.
Yeah, it was somebody that was moving specifically.
Yep.
I have a couple permits. They're not pods because pods, you know. I have a pod right now. So we have a resident who has a Connex box. I told him, if you can bring me a lease for that you haven't bought it and it's not permanent, I will give you a permit. It was for 3 months. It's going to be up in a couple weeks. It's either got to go or he's got to show me a new lease.
Hmm. I could be wrong. I was under the understanding if it's in conjunction with a temporary activity, i.e. home remodeling project, something along those lines, that a six-month temporary permit could be issued for something like that.
Yes, that's true.
And that permit, on the other hand, as we all know, could get an extension. So my suggestion would be is to give that party a
temporary
six-month permit for
Except
it.
That we can't give them a temporary. Can we give a temporary six-month permit in residential zones?
They're not building a house enough.
It's not temporary. I mean, here's the thing. Zoning officials can choose not to enforce. So you can request voluntary compliance.
They have no activity that would warrant the use of a temporary...
It's an agricultural piece
people
of property. He wants
to
put equipment in
it. Agricultural
And he wants to leave it there.
Well, if he's got it on his property and we follow our procedures, it'll probably take us 2 years to make him remove it.
By
then, we'll probably change the regulations.
2 months from now.
Well, my exact thoughts, I was just trying to do it, you know, sounding like we knew what we were doing.
This said not if we do an application for 2 months.
So, and here's the thing. We're not going to make him move it if there's an application coming up to change it. So we'll let it ride, and, you know, if for some reason it doesn't pass, then he's got to move it.
And again, I was under the understanding that agricultural was exempt from any of this.
Is it zoned as?
Well, does he have more than 5 acres?
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, that was the conversation. If you're... had more than 5 acres, and you're a farm, and you're a legitimate farm, you're exempt from so many things out there.
Chickens, roosters.
You're exempt from a lot of wetlands permits. But you're not exempt from zoning, and I get what you're saying.
Okay.
But when you had that discussion, you didn't include it in the amendment. If you included it in the amendment, we'd be gold.
So as housekeeping, we should, in the future, get that cleared up. In the interim...
Just let it ride.
I would say...
So like 2 years, or you make a prediction, Mr. Siragusa?
Got it.
I think at least minimum 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so listen, hopefully we can move along. In the meantime, I said the same thing to Tiffany. Don't make them move it. If you guys are sort of in agreement, that was what you wanted, and we're just going to, we never got included in that regulation. Then
we don't want you to violate any zoning regulations. We don't want you to violate any zoning regulations.
That's the thing. If somebody complains and says, well, your regulation doesn't say it, and they pushed it.
Well, that's your call. We're not involved in violating anything.
You can write a request for voluntary compliance, and they don't comply. And then you can write a notice of violation. I mean, you can drag on a violation for like a year.
2 years.
I would say let's try to get it on an agenda, and let's address it and clean it up. It's just one more topic in the list that really needs some housekeeping.
Can I make a suggestion for the minutes?
Sure.
Can we say that we choose not to enforce, given that our intent was...
Well, I mean, I was once told by a land use attorney that represented the town that zoning officials do not have to, can choose not to enforce. I guess you could make it a policy. You could vote to have a policy that until the regulations are changed, you're not going to enforce it. So like, that's what a lot of people did with the outdoor dining before the executive orders came down. They were just like, okay, we don't have regulations for outdoor dining, but like Stonington adopted a policy that it wouldn't enforce the regulations during the COVID. And then, of course, you know, then we got guidance from the state who didn't at first. And people were being allowed to do it because they had to. So you could adopt a policy. You could do that right now. It could be your policy that, you know.
Sure. Well, while we have an audience of
lawyers.
Can I just clarify my statement?
Yeah.
So to Tony's point, Commissioner Saragusa's point, we don't want to not follow our own regulations, and we don't want to seemingly be partial to any person or homeowner. So if there was some sort of acknowledgement that the commission's intent was, you know, not to exclude this type of property, I would feel better about that.
Yeah, so you could say that, and then, you know,
and clear it up in the next session.
That you're not going to enforce them because of your intent and because of an upcoming application. Gentlemen, that's
possible
with that?
Well,
you guys asked.
I think I'd be careful about using the words not enforce.
Well,
if you want to stick around, join the party. Well, so we would love your opinion.
I agree with the chairman.
We will let
I was here that night. You guys had a lengthy discussion about these comics boxes and chickens and whatever else you were discussing.
And mini horses.
I thought, and I don't know what's in the regulations on this, but I thought you decided that these comics boxes were allowed on farms of over 5 acres.
Farmland.
Yeah.
So we don't have that regulation here?
So could it have been a clerical error that wasn't added and we can correct that?
That was my understanding.
It was a clerical error that it was not added into the amended regulation, and we can, in accordance with the minutes, in accordance with all of your recollection, we could correct it to include that
and make it retroactive.
Right.
Okay.
Clear.
I'd say, look at the minutes.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What's in the minutes.
And everything's on tape.
Yeah, it's on tape.
So look at the minutes. Yeah. Let's discuss it next meeting, and we'll make the adjustment. Because I thought we were very all flustered, and everyone was going in a different direction. But I thought there was some continuity that once we got above the 5 acre, I mean, I was moving towards agricultural use. And then there was suggestion that if you had over 5 acres, then who gives a shit?
And so, I think we can change it now. We called it, what do they call it, Scribner's error? Add it in.
Check the minutes. Meredith, would you do that? Thank you. And then we'll
I'll send the whole commission.
Put it on the agenda for next week, and don't drive by that property for 2 weeks. All right. Thank you, Liz.
That's That's it for me, guys. Sorry.
Well,
I know it was really short, and I apologize.
Hey, I got a question for Liz. You mentioned the money for COG. We're not involved in that. That's your office. You do what you
Correct.
Want, right?
Okay. But I wanted to run it by you as a courtesy.
Well,
so
if we say no, you're going to change it?
Well, I mean, I would consider it because, you know, I don't want to anger
no.
you guys or make it not like me. So.
Do whatever you think's right.
Yeah, I think this is the best course
no,
of
no,
action.
No, I don't care. That's
Start
fine.
Really quick.
Okay, go for it.
The RFP process itself would add a whole another month to all this, so at least.
All right. Well, one, thank you very much. Two, welcome aboard. You've been handed quite a pile. Colleen, Tiffany, Meredith, thank you all for picking up the pieces along the way. We had a lot of tasks that fell behind, were in the queue due to consequences, unfortunately, the passing of Marcia. We got our hands full, so looks like you got a pretty good handle on it. The commission's very thankful. At least I am, and I hope I represent the rest of you.
You do me.
Thank you, Tony. I know we sometimes don't agree, but on this we do.
You gave me a blessing.
Okay. Under other business this evening, we have our proposed operating budget for fiscal year 2022-2023. This is for our review, to take home and review.
Yes, that's true. So if you want to do a quick review tonight, it's due, well, it might be due right after the next meeting. I think it's due mid-November. Okay, November 5th. So due before the next meeting. So I think Meredith and I, and she can elaborate, we kept the budget the same, but for next year would be the Connecticut Land Use Academy. You know that every 2 years you get to take out a book, usually at Wesleyan. It's a really good seminar and to go to. So I think I included the cost of $50 plus the book and you get lunch if it's even going to be in person next year. So I included $50 for each member to attend.
Isn't this now a requirement of
well,
commission members
yes,
that
part of the PA
the continuing
yes.
education. So, yeah.
Around the back.
So,
good.
I added to the budget for that in anticipation of that.
That's right. It's all
when
good.
Is the conference?
What day is it?
It's always on a Saturday.
Well,
last year, it was actually virtual, and it was great. You watched it from home. You could, you know, need a glass of water, bring your laptop down to the kitchen.
We're going to send you a notice, John. It's usually on Saturday.
I know it's on Saturday.
Your notice is going to be on Sunday.
I know it's on a Saturday, but what day? What day? So I can look at my calendar and say, okay, I'm not doing nothing on Saturday.
Can you be there early?
I really missed you guys. You know that?
You know?
Let's go.
I could be at another conference.
Conferences are great.
Yeah.
All right, so if everyone review your proposed operating budget, you've kept it in line. If you have any questions, contact the office directly.
Other than that,
are we okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay. If you do have any questions, run it by him.
It's just for our department, right?
You need a vote of approval?
Yeah or yes. That would be great if you're good with that right now. If you need more time, everyone can
you want to review it? You want to take it home, Tony? You want to dissect that a little bit?
I don't care.
This is the budget for this department.
Yeah, sure.
All right, I make a motion that we approve the budget as submitted.
Okay, motion.
Fiscal year 23.
Okay.
Second.
Motion. We have a second by Tony. Any discussion on the motion?
So there's... I guess are my number's missing for the 2023 department request.
Meredith, did you put the 2023
in
there? Or did we not? Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so
not to.
Filled out yet.
That's
so
fine.
What you're looking at is 22's budget.
Yep.
But we're going to add the cost of that municipal land use, the Connect Bar Association, the 2 year update, and that will satisfy your training requirements.
Okay. All right, no other tricks, right? Okay. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain? You're good to go.
You can vote.
Thanks. Don't spend it all in one place. Agenda item 11, correspondence. Is that you, Colleen?
Actually, I think you can read off the agenda, but I just...
All right.
Let me take a look. You have the... Or, do you have copies of the correspondence?
Yes.
Yep. That's from Bothell?
I can read them right off if you'd like.
But oddly, the public hearing dates for comments for the adjacent municipalities are passed. One of them is... One today, and one was like, what? October 12th. So, you know, if you want to read them, you have a comment. They're in the hands on.
Okay, so.
They're really just for your information.
They're in your agenda, FYI. You can read them. We're not acting on them. They're, again, for our information. So, moving on to agenda item 12.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that the minutes of the meeting is of September 28, 2021, be approved.
Oh, perfect, Chuck. Anyone second that? You, Tony? Thank you. All in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Minutes approved. Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Thank you, everybody, for a very cordial meeting.